Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these words be yours and bless. Amen. I want to start off by taking just a moment or two to give some credit to feet. I want you to take a look at your feet. Go ahead, I'll wait. Do you like them? You know, most people are not very fond of the way their feet look for some reason, despite this radical increase, at least in our family, of pedicures that people get. But if I asked you to think your feet are beautiful, you'd probably say no. And I would counter that they should be. Because in that epistle lesson I read, Paul concludes this very nicely constructed argument about spreading the message with a quote from the prophet Isaiah. He says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. Not how lovely are the herald's lips, which the message poured forth from, not how radiant his beaming face, not even how terrific the tidings themselves were, but how beautiful were his feet." The feet without which he would have never made it up those mountains and over in the first place, without which his tidings wouldn't be shared with anyone else at all. I think feet are an underappreciated aspect of the body of Christ. You ever stop to think, really, how much your feet have to do with your faith? The feet that take you to church to worship, to visit the sick, to meetings, to study your Bible, to feed the homeless, to do all sorts of things. It's our feet that get us started. Without them, regardless of what might be in our minds or in our hearts, we won't accomplish much of anything. Take Isaiah's messenger. We don't know what inspired him to share that good news of peace and salvation instead of just sitting on the other side of those mountains and keeping it to himself. But as for the question of his hearing something and actually doing something about it, his putting his money where his mouth is or his shoe lever where his inspiration is, it's his feet that set things in motion. And more importantly, his feet which kept on going. Which is why, even though those feet were probably dirty, sweaty, stinky, cut up, and blistered, Isaiah says that those feet were beautiful. With that in mind, I want to consider Peter's feet in that gospel lesson. Peter's feet, which find themselves on the move in the most unlikeliest of places on the waves. A horrific storm, frustrating night going against the wind, and the disciples see a ghost. And Peter says, "Hey, Lord, if it's you, command me to walk to you on the water." I mean, where did that come from? You ever thought about that? I mean, talk about someone deciding to step out in faith. Would you do that? Would you ask God to have you test the limits of what actually makes sense in this world? Would you ask for something so counterintuitive, so much that a favorable result is not only unlikely, but impossible? Would you do it? Would you take that step? I'm not sure I would. I probably wouldn't even ask for something like that. I'd ask God for something a lot more doable. But you know, I've always been intrigued by what must have motivated those first disciples. Peter and Andrew, James and John, Matthew. And we can assume just by thinking about it that every single one of those first disciples were called in the same way. What made them completely drop what it was that they were doing, to leave life as they knew it and go off with Jesus just simply because he came up and said, "Follow me"? I mean, I'd like to think that I was in their position, I'd do the same thing, but I don't think so, to be honest. And when I think about this gospel lesson of what Peter does, which is pretty darn spectacular, I also think that he sort of had it pretty easy. I mean, he did go overboard, literally, but he did so because Jesus directly told him He could. But is that really faith? I mean, his situation, as dire as it may be, in that boat with all those waves and the doubt and the fear, at least it seemed pretty clear cut. And he knew exactly where he could turn to and who would help him if something happened, just in case. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm faced with those take the plunge kind of moments, I'm never that sure. Is this really what Jesus is asking me to do? Is it really Jesus that's doing the asking? Or am I just contemplating myself something dangerous, rash, or foolish? Oh, you of little faith, he says. And I wonder sometimes, is it that there's little of that faith, or is it maybe too much faith in the wrong things? I mean, duh. It's the uncertainty of it all that makes faith rather difficult at times. Not to mention sustainable in the long run. Which means, when I really think about it, even if I dare to take that first step, what about all those other steps that come after it? Aren't they just as important? Aren't they even more? Got to tell you, I looked in the mirror last week and I decided, I'm going to go on a diet. And so Monday, boom, I went on a diet. It was great. I had a very small portion for supper, and I got hungry right before bedtime, and I just had 4 carrot sticks and a glass of water. Next morning, made myself a nice smoothie, and then I had to go out with some people for lunch and had a club sandwich with fries. Still on the diet, but I've gone back to the other things. Why? It should be no big deal. I say I'm on a diet, and I started off good. But the thing is, there's that sustainability factor. Faith is more than just taking the plunge or deciding to. It may start there, but that is only the start. It also entails walking in a different way ever after. Sometimes taking that leap of faith, it actually can be pretty easy. It happens before we realize it happens, or it's thrust upon it, or we think about it after the fact of how important it was. But walking in faith, like walking on water, takes a special kind of attitude, a changed way of looking at things, of what's possible and what's impossible, and keeping that viewpoint step after step after step. To me, it's rather ironic that faith often comes to us easiest in the biggest things, the weightiest matters. Marriage, parenthood, disaster, death, a new job or a new home, that moment right before the plane takes off, or that sudden frightening phone call in the middle of the night. That's when we not only trust in God, but we call upon Him and expect Him to deliver and help us. But unfortunately, the rest of the time, all those day-to-day matters, we're a lot less faithful. We actually almost ignore Him. We don't ask for God's help. We strive and figure we can handle most things on our own. That's why Peter is such a good example for us, for our walk of faith. Because he is the epitome of the leap before your look kind of guy. And he has no problem stepping out over the gunwales of the boat in the stormy waves. Just command me, Lord, and I'll do it. He trusted Jesus at that moment, and his faith held him up. That part was easy. But then what happened? You know, I think after a few terrifying steps, he got the hang of it. Felt pretty cool about it. Maybe even heard some of the comments from the other guys in the boat. Like, look at Simon go. You stroll, dude. I wish I would have gone out there. You know, and he looks at his buds and he smiles and he says, waves, and those shuffling steps become powerful strides, and he's almost thinking, look at me, what I'm doing. And his faith in his Lord became faith in himself, and immediately he starts to sink. Matthew says he noticed the wind and he became frightened, and his faith in himself let him down in more ways than one. I'd like to say that sort of thing's never happened to me. but it has, time and time again. The greatest danger to God's faithful people isn't always hesitancy or fear. It's misplaced courage. Not that reluctance to take the first step, but failing to take all those ever steps thereafter in faith. It's misplaced ownership. Seeing yourself doing those great things that only God can do and thinking that you're the one that's doing them. And it's misplaced faith. However, it happens when we notice the wind and ignore our Lord and Savior standing right in front of us with open arms. My senior year in the seminary, they assigned us all to different congregations in the city of Saskatoon to get to know how people and make pastoral calls on them. And I was so blessed that one of the people I got, his name was Melvin Curtis. And he, long before the TV show Ice Road Truckers, that's what he did for a living. He captivated me with all the stories of his job. He would drive semis up to Uranium City, which is the hardest, most northern part of Saskatchewan. It could only be done in the winter when the tundra was frozen. And the last 80 miles of this journey was over Saskatchewan's largest lake, Athabasca. And he would say how he did it, because the way it is just captivates what faith is all about. He says, you drive full throttle. You steer straight ahead while looking at these markers. The windows are wide open. Your seat belts are off. You're all bundled up, because if you go in, your only salvation is jumping out the open window. And you sing hymns the whole way. And not just because the radio reception's poor. He would say over and over again, Christ only walked on water. I have to drive a flippin' 18-wheeler on the stuff. Still remember Melvin, and he taught me something really important. That faith isn't something you hold on to. It's something that holds on to you as you step out or drive into the unknown. You don't have to walk on water to be a Christian. You just have to know that with God's help, you can. And knowing that, keep on going. Because all those next steps, I pray they're doozies. God grant that. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.